Добрый день, дорогие товарищи. Мы сегодня с вами начинаем нашу очередную
лекцию. We're starting with our theme. As Alexander Kozlov said, Peace in the World, article by Bala Sulam, very important article, non-simple article. It's an article that can actually explain to us everything about where we exist, which is actually very important in our developing world today, to understand the dynamics, the tendency, and what does the future prepare for us. Before we go on to this article, I told you last time that from the 28th to the 30th in Berlin, there will be a Congress. You can see on your screens, 28th to 30th in Berlin, European Congress. On our sites, on the forums, prepare yourselves, whoever can come, please, if you can't, then virtually. We'll all meet in Berlin from the 28th to the 30th. And now, let's start with our article. Okay, we would really like to attain peace in the world because neither with the loved ones nor with the parents, actually, there's no peace with anyone. And the whole of nature is in some kind of antagonism. Everything is kind of drifting away, falling apart. You see, there are different climate problems, social problems, problems in education, drugs. There is no peace in the world. And actually, probably it should be. Or at least the way we see, it's achievable. So let's find out whether it's possible. Or is it some kind of a fantasy by a person who simply feels like it? I put it this way. If peace is in the world is a part of nature's plan, then we'll achieve it. If it isn't, we'll never achieve it. So the problem, we talked about this. Can we hasten the attainment of peace of the, in the world if it's programmed in the world? Can we achieve it? And not only to hasten it, the attainment of it, but also to get it in a good way, in a week or two, instead of in dozens of years of suffering and wars and so on. That is actually what I would expect of this article. Will it tell us about this? Will it teach us about it? Everything is appreciated, says Bala Sulam, not according to how it seems in a certain moment, but according to the extent of its development. All that exists in reality, both good and bad, has a right to exist. We must only mend and reform it because any observation of... Okay, so we must only mend and reform it. And this is the foundation for the right attitude towards the world. Meaning, don't do anything with your hands. You put your hands in your pocket and don't get them out of there if you don't know how to relate to the world. Meaning, it's forbidden to destroy anything. There's nothing harmful in the world. And if it seems to you that something's bad, then you should check. Is it bad because this is how you understand it, or is it really bad? If it's the way you understand it, then correct yourself. If it's really bad, then what's the problem with that bad? Does it exist in nature, or did you do it so? And that way you'll find out how is it possible to correct that. Maybe by correcting yourself you'll be able to correct that, and by correcting something in the world you'll only make it worse. Meaning Bala Sulam, he sets the right attitude to ourselves and the world. That actually we have to relate very carefully to what he tells us. And he says that it's enough to come and understand, meaning that if we look at the whole of creation, all that creation is undergoing through millions of years, then there's something very... In which also are we, not like some external part of it, but like a component of it. We're learning it all from within, not from the outside, and it's forbidden for us to separate us from the surrounding nature and the world as if we're above it. With every day, we're convinced ever more that we're above nature. And whether we want it or not, we can only scrutinize these laws and somehow use them more correctly. That's actually what the article is about. Thus, we have to understand this condition. And by this, somehow use them more correctly. That's actually what the article is about.
Test. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
And actually, we place ourselves in a position of small, dumb beings that pay no attention to the actions that they perform around them. However, it is common knowledge that the Creator, says Bala Sulam, did not complete creation when he created it. And we can see in every corner of reality, in the general and in the particular, that it abides by a law of gradual development, from absence to completion of growth. For this reason, when the fruit tastes bitter at the beginning of its growth, it is not considered a flaw in its fruit. Meaning from about 15 billion years ago, and from the beginning of creation until now, we see a development from the degrees of the still, vegetative, animate, and human nature. Human nature, it's what comes out of the borders of our existence. But until now, we see a development from the degrees of the still, vegetative, animate, and human nature. Human nature, it's
1, 2, 1, 2, test.
What comes out of the borders of our existence. But until now, we see a development from the degrees of the still, vegetative, animate, and human nature. Human nature, it's
1, 2, 1, 2, test.
Comes out of the borders of our existence. And now,
dimension. So, the Creator didn't finish the entire creation, but He has created it, and before our eyes, we see all the development. So we see these phases of development step by step before us, and so when we see a bitter taste of a fruit in the beginning of its development, we don't see it as a flaw or imperfection of this fruit, because the fruit is not finished developing yet. So with all the elements in nature and existence, if something feels or seems bad to us or is harmful, it's only an evidence that this element still is at a transition stage in the process of development. So we are not in our right to make a decision that it is wrong, or to ignore it or underestimate it, because this only testifies to our foolishness, our very close look at what's taking place, not subjective look. Meaning, if as a result we would have a correct view of our surroundings, we would never start breaking anything as it's still developing, try to meddle, just as if a fruit is grown in a tree when it's only half ripened. We couldn't immediately try to bring it to its final stage. No, we need to simply wait. We can perhaps influence it by giving it better conditions, external conditions, which will help it develop, ripen faster. Perhaps, maybe. Still, we need to give it time for it to develop, to ripen, and somehow facilitate the process for it to happen faster, but they would pass through it faster. We would not meddle into those laws of development that exist in every individual object from the beginning of its creation to the conclusion. This is what Baal Salaam warns us of, and this is where he finishes his introduction to this article. Do we have any questions? Yes, we have a question from Valentin from Klaipen. How do we correct these opposite, as he says, even hostile forces to allow oneself to bring oneself to conformity with them? You need to have your head. Use your head. You need to understand that we exist in nature, that nature is more wise than we are and stronger than we are, that we are its spawn, and to ask ourselves, why do we see flaws in nature? These flaws and imperfections and all kinds of incorrect actions, why does nature seem this way to us? Because we know that it's ideal and in absolute harmony and equilibrium. So why then do we see it in such a terrible state? Why do we estimate it, assess it to be like this? Kabbalah offers a very simple answer to this question. Kabbalah says everyone who evaluates somebody else or judges somebody else does it due to his own imperfection, based on his own imperfections. So we're incorrected. That's why we're looking at nature, and we see it as incorrected. If we were corrected, we'd see it as completely corrected and full of harmony and completely ideal. This is the same thing that we study in perception of reality. I say that all our entire reality is perceived in us, in our desires and our sensations. And when our desires are corrected, we see everything around us in a corrected state. If they are incorrected, what can you do? To that extent, we also see all kinds of incorrections. The next section, the weakness of world reformers. Meaning, from what we see around us, we have this something that we can't overcome, this desire to correct things, to build all kinds of castles in the sky and to change society and technology and sciences, cultures, everything that we can possibly change, develop. Why, what for, we don't even know. But nature is pushing us to do this. Nature that's pushing us to change, is this nature good or bad? Maybe we just don't need to do anything at all. And whatever happens, happens. Maybe we shouldn't aspire to any progress. What does it give us? People, the entire humanity is beginning to consider this now. With all the progress that we've made, we haven't done anything. We've only just made everything a lot more polluted, and our future isn't any better. We shudder to think of what's going to happen with our kids. So the weakness of world reformers is a very relevant, very topical topic today, even though the article was written almost 100 years ago. This is the key to understand the weakness of world reformers throughout the generations. And this is a phenomenon throughout the generations because man instinctively tries to correct everything around them. They regarded man as a machine that is not operating properly and needs mending. Of course, everyone would respect their own understanding and inclination. That's what they wanted to correct, meaning to remove the corrupted parts and replace them with good ones. Well, which one of us wouldn't want to do this? To correct everything around, to suit your own needs, the way that you understand it. Give me the switch and I'm going to turn the entire world upside down. That's a good idea, right? But what then? The world reformers want to eradicate any harmful and bad in the human species, meaning what they consider evil and harmful. And it is true that if the Creator had not stood against them, they would certainly have now cleansed man entirely, leaving only the good and useful. That's what the Soviet regime wanted to do with us, and all the other world leaders, of course. Everyone wants to shake everything and leave only what they want. And because the Creator meticulously watches over all the elements in this creation, not letting anyone destroy a thing in his domain, but only reform it, that's the only thing you can do to correct it and put it, make it work for the benefit of the upper one. Because it's impossible to... We continue to read. Because all the reformers of the above... Because only reform and make it useful and good, all the reformers of the above mentioned kind will vanish from the face of the earth, and evil inclinations will not vanish. They live on and count the degrees that they must traverse until they complete their ripening. Just as with the tree and the fruit on the tree. It's bitter, it's sour, it smells bitter as well. It's green and it's not tasty, it's not pleasant. It doesn't have anything. Its form is unfinished as well. We need to simply wait until it finishes developing. That's it. It is written, who is a sage, he who sees the end of correction, and he understands it. So you simply need to wait. Just as a small child, if not for our love for him, we would throw him out. And it's what is this creature that's screaming, always demanding things and corrupting everything and getting in the way? If not for our instinctual love for him, we wouldn't be tolerating this kind of creature among us. So we need to understand that first and foremost, knowing the program of creation, knowing the end result, the final picture of it, of this program, it's necessary in order to relate to the world correctly today. Otherwise, we begin to meddle in nature today, and in so doing, we're simply aggravating, making the future, the next stages of our development, unbearable. Reward it, I will hasten it, not reward it in its time. The next section. Do we have any good questions? Yes, about this section, Alexander from California, USA, is asking, how do we properly, correctly react to what's happening around us? Well, this is what we're going to learn right now. How do we relate to these things correctly? Meaning, we see only one thing. Man is naturally inclined to criticize what's around him. He instinctively wants to correct everything to suit himself, the way he feels things should be, because man isn't corrected. And the nature is corrected. When he tries to meddle in nature, he only introduces more incorrections, which ultimately come back to him with a lot of pain and only cause him to keep suffering more and more, and he only cause him to feel sorry and regret having done all that he had done, but it's too late, and now he needs to pay a much higher price in order to bring something back or to correct something, to mend something. Because if we, in all the dynamic nature and all the objects that exist around us, if we see something incorrected and we try to implement ourselves in it, we introduce an even greater degree of incorrection. And they continue developing in the meantime. Meaning, if the fruit is in the tree and there's some spot in it that I consider incorrect, and I come to it, and I knife it out, I cut it out of it, and it continues developing. And as it continues developing, as it gets bigger, that little incorrection, that imperfection that I had introduced, it gets bigger, bigger, and bigger. And it can maybe perhaps die altogether, or it can continue developing in this deformed state. I may have perhaps only introduced 1 gram of incorrection, but as it grows, it may grow into be 1 kilo of incorrection. That's something we need to keep in mind, and we don't. Everything that we do today, we think it's going to be good, it's useful, and we don't take into account the fact that this, even these small reforms that we introduce, and later on they may become huge, and they come back to us in this tremendously negative way. And these changes, some of them, if we look at society today, they're irreversible, incorrigible. We see examples of it, how the fruits that it has borne. We must know that the above-mentioned law of development, which is spread over the whole of reality, is guaranteed to return all evil to good and useful acts through the power of government in heaven above, meaning without asking permission from the people who inhabit the earth. In other words, this law cannot overcome it. So according to this law, we will come to the absolutely good, a perfect state, either through suffering or the good path, either through a lot of blows or in a short, brief, pleasant path. Everything depends on our attitude to our own development. However, the Creator placed knowledge and authority in the hands of man and permitted him to accept the above-mentioned law of development under his own authority and government, and handed him the ability to hasten the process of development as he wishes, freely and completely independent of the boundaries of time. This is very interesting. In other words, if we, first of all, we understand that the initial point, the middle point, and the end point are predetermined. Second, that until today we've been developing instinctually, driven forth by nature. Three, that today we're given the opportunity to take this law of development in our hands. Four, that this law of development is invariable, and there's only one parameter in it that we can exchange, change, and that's acceleration, which it's almost a sweetening of our path, of helping it pass quicker and easier. So to the extent that we can correctly influence our path of development, we will hasten it and make it pleasant and fast. It turns out that there are two authorities here acting in the above-mentioned conduct of development. The one is the authority in heaven, which is sure to turn anything harmful and evil to good and useful. But that will be in due time, in its own way, in a floundering manner and after a long time. And this is a long and painful path of development. There's nothing you can do about that. And then there is the authority of Earth, and when the evolving object is a living being, it suffers horrendous torments while under the press of development, a press that carves its way ruthlessly. And there is nothing we can do about this because we are this feeling element in nature, and we will. Everything else in nature is unfeeling. It doesn't feel, including the Creator. The Creator is called the unfeeling level of all nature, general law of all nature. It's mankind that tries to explain, perceive the Creator as in the way of feeling, it's as though it has feeling. But does nature and its laws, do they have feelings? Absolutely not. Therefore, we need to relate this way to our development, and there's nowhere for us to run from this sequential ladder of development. We must conform to it. This is evolution. The rigid laws of nature, they press on us, and there is nothing we can do about them. This is the upper governance, or the governance of the heaven of the Creator. And so there are only these two authorities, and the earth authority, as he says. The authority of the earth, however, is comprised of people, meaning they who have taken authority of the Creator in their own hands and began to use it themselves, just as we would have taken the law of gravity, for instance, or electricity, the law of electricity, or the law of magnetism, or any other law. And if we started to govern, to adjust reality around us for us. So, this authority of the earth is comprised of people who have taken this above-mentioned law of development upon their own government, under their own government, and can free themselves entirely from the chains of time, and who greatly accelerate time, the completion of the ripeness and correction of the object, which is the end of its development. Meaning, we can take this law in our own hands, accelerate our ripening, and make it good and pleasant. Just as a walk in a park, in the best possible state, beginning with this moment. Instead of running away like little creatures from these cruel blows that we cannot avoid, it's like a tsunami that catches us and you can't get away from it. And you see it coming, looming, and you simply close your eyes because you know that nothing can change. And if people merit this path of development, it will happen quickly and pleasantly. But if they are it all depends on their desire, meaning only on the quality of their actions and their focus, and this is how they come to the end phase of its development, meaning by correcting their negative qualities to positive ones. In so doing, I influence the entire nature and I accelerate my development in nature. I don't change the external nature? No. I can accelerate my inner development, meaning just as in an apple on a tree. There is only this additional generator, individual generator, where I can accelerate my own development irrespective of time. For instance, the fruit needs to grow on a tree for 2 months in order to ripen. I can, if I am this fruit, bring myself to this state of development in a week. This is what we can do. But if they are not rewarded with developing their bad attributes under their own authority, but leave it under the authority of heaven, they too are certain to attain the end of their redemption and the end of their correction. This is because there is complete certainty in the government of heaven, which operates by the law of gradual development, degree by degree, evolution, until it turns any evil and harmful into good and useful as the fruit of it on the tree. The end is guaranteed, but in its time, meaning it is completely connected and dependent on time. This is what we see in nature. According to that law of gradual development, one must go through many degrees which tend to come heavily and very slowly and lengthily, and stretch over a very long time before one reaches the end. And we see, looking around us, that it takes thousands of years, and who knows how many more are ahead of us. And because the objects we are discussing are evolving, sensing, living beings, they too must suffer great agony and pains in those states of development, since the compelling force which exists in those degrees in order to raise man from a lower degree to a higher one is but a pushing force of pain and torment that has accumulated in the lower degree and that can no longer be tolerated. Because of that, we must leave that degree and rise to a higher one. This is that in dialectic, the evolution, that program of development that we've used to come to develop to this state. And now, the science of Kabbalah tells us we can accept this law of development and voluntarily, happily, with understanding, start using it for our benefit. This is the only reason we are given Kabbalah, in order so that we realize that end goal, to envision it correctly before us, to define the instrument with which we attain this goal, and to grab on to only this, because nothing else in our world, there's nothing else in our world that we can do. Everything else will continue spinning its own way. This is our only freedom of will to accelerate our development to an already predetermined goal. Therefore, the end is certain to come, and in its own time, if we don't hasten it, meaning it's tied to the chains of time, and Israel's guaranteed end by taking development of their attributes under their own authority is called I will hasten it, meaning completely independent of time. This is the opportunity that is before us. This is what the science of Kabbalah tells us. Meaning, peace in the world can be achieved if we understand the opportunity that is before us and how we can truly make use of it. Sasha? Yes, we get a lot of questions. This only tells us perhaps that I think it's because we have a lot of interest, but a lot of questions that will ask for clarification, and And it's especially very pleasant that we have a lot of questions from our American Learning Center students. And we have also a lot of graduates from our other virtual academies. We have one student from Washington asks, our effort, well, it's a learning center student, our effort to be one with nature is constantly failing. Why does this keep happening even though our intentions are always best when we try to do this? What intention? Take a small child who has good intentions, but he doesn't know how to do things. He doesn't have the knowledge of how to work with something or what specifically he needs to do. He has a good intention, but everything else about him, he's not neither skilled enough nor smart enough. So how is he going to succeed? And even intention, for his level, yes, he has good intentions, but not for the level where this problem needs a solution. How can a person even develop himself correctly? Where would he get the opportunity from? We'll keep learning this in this article. Think, today I exist as a fruit on a tree. I'm hanging off a tree right now, and I'm in my state of development currently. I'm this tiny, tiny, wrinkled apple, green and bitter, and I think to myself, I need to grow to this sweet apple, red and big and ripe. How can I possibly envision this state to myself? How can I envision what states I need to pass through and everything that follows to find the strength, the way to keep developing when I am still this tiny little apple? How can I do that? Meaning, from what we've read just now, I say, okay, this is what I'm going to do now. Now I know what to do. That's foolishness. We need to learn, clarify, and scrutinize where we take this end goal and these ways of development to it. We need to take this from above. It doesn't exist in us automatically. If I'm a small child and suddenly I want to become 20 years old, not over 20 years, but over 1 year. This is essentially what's being offered to us here. If I am 1 year old right now, how can I bring myself to the 20th year of development in only 1 year? How can I do that? I don't have anything with which to do this. The only thing I do know is that I'm suffering right now, and I'm told that if I become big, then I'm not going to suffer anymore. That's all I know. I don't even know what it is to be big, to be adult. In our world, we know what that means. But what about in the spiritual world? We don't see it. Meaning we are completely lacking any and all instruments with which we can achieve the final goal. So the question truly, how can we speak anything about our own strength, our own power to do anything? I don't have anything. I'm lacking everything in my head, in my heart, in my hands. I don't have anything. Where is this incubator where I can place myself to develop faster? I don't know. Therefore, there's a contradiction here that's being revealed. On the one hand, it says that you can do everything right now, anything you want. Let's go, keep going. What is it on the one hand? On the other hand, hit your hands, put them in your pockets, don't do anything, because whatever you do right now, it will be the most foolish thing you can do, because you don't know what it is to move forward, to keep developing. You don't see the final goal. You don't know how to get there. You're told what you can do. At the same time, you're not explained how to get there. You don't have a program whereby you can act and make it happen. So whatever you do, you can harm yourself much more than if you don't do anything at all. So far, all we've done is we've learned that there is this opportunity on the one hand. On the other hand, if we think, we come to the conclusion that we don't have this opportunity in us. If there is an opportunity to accelerate my development, then I myself have no real instruments with which to make it happen. Not my thoughts, not my understanding, not my feelings, not any real knowledge of these phases of development. I don't have anything. Meaning I still need to see all of these things. I have so far only heard of the opportunity of to make this happen. And that's it. Another question from our learning center. What goal is there before us? To accelerate the development of the world or of us? Well, we spoke about this. He's not a very good student if he's not listening. He said this here: if people have attained the law of development, they will. If people learn how to correct their own negative qualities and turn them into positive ones, then they will fully free themselves of the boundaries of time and so on. Their own negative qualities they correct to the positive ones. Not to correct the world, but to correct themselves. Question from Colombia and Venezuela. Two questions that... We see Bogota here. Here in Bogota, we had the terrible flood, and thousands of people died. And in Venezuela, they ask, what is the responsibility of the world caliph for all the events that take place in the world, the cruel, terrible events that take place in the world lately? We need to feel responsible for it. We do. First of all, what's happening in the world, truly it is a consequence of our inner incorrections. We need to commiserate with them. We need to feel within that if something is happening in the world incorrectly, then it is my fault. Because I am given the opportunity, we are given the opportunity. We're given this opportunity to correct something. But the rest of the world, they were not given this opportunity. Because that, therefore, the sweetening, this easing of our development towards the good, and it depends on us, on those who were given the knowledge, the understanding that this is possible. So let us accelerate this and come to a state where we know where we receive the strength and the means, the reason to make these corrections to ourselves and through ourselves to the rest of the world, because we are in one web with the rest of the world. We're all interconnected. Even today, we reveal that the entire world is global. And so we must come to a state where by correcting ourselves, we correct the world, and to do this fast, as soon as possible. From Dusseldorf, Victor asks, what fuel can I use to accelerate my development? But the fuel is the inspiration that you receive from the world group. Look at what we have here, Bogota, Nuremberg, Los Angeles. So many that here at our lesson from all different countries and so different. You have North America, Los Angeles, South America, Bogota, and Nuremberg, Germany, other places in South America, and so on. Before then, we had cities in Russia, and this tremendous number of people and students. Let us connect together. And it will happen, for sure. Look at how the big group that we have in Kiev. Everything depends on us. Next section. Good and bad are evaluated by the actions of the individual towards society. Meaning, Baal Sulam gives us, little by little, these little pills of knowledge, how we can understand this law of development, accelerated development. He says, if you want to accelerate development, see how it's done. You exist in your evil, in your evil qualities, your evil nature. You need to correct yourself. What does it mean, evil nature? How do I estimate it? How do I measure it in order to correct it to goodness? And immediately he tells you about this in the next section, that the good and bad are evaluated by the actions of the individual towards society, meaning not what I am by myself or what I feel I am, but truly the way that I relate to the society that's around me. Before we examine the correction of evil in the human species, we must first determine the value of those abstract terms, good and bad. When we define an act or an attribute as good or bad, we should clarify without whom that attribute or act benefits. I can act out of what I consider good for myself. At the same time, this very action may be harmful, may be evil to someone else. So who do we estimate, who do we measure it with respect to? If we want to draw nearer to the end of our development, meaning to put ourselves in the right position against nature, against nature, with respect to nature, if it's good or evil. To understand that, we must thoroughly know the proportional value between the individual and the collective, between the individual and the collective, and the individual lives in and nourishes from, in both matter and spirit, meaning the relationship between the individual and the collective. That's what we need to know. Reality shows us that there is no right to exist for an isolated individual without a sufficient number of people around him to serve him and help him provide for his needs. Hence, we are created in a way that's different from animals. An animal who can feed himself and live on his own, and it's sufficient for him. We are created with such big needs, large needs, that we cannot fulfill them and provide for them by ourselves individually. That's why it is said, go and profit from others. What does that mean? You mean you need to provide for others, and that is how you can live together. Hence, a person is born to lead a social life to begin with, and each and every individual in society is like a wheel that is linked to several other wheels placed in the machine, and this single wheel has no freedom of movement in and of itself, but continues with the motion with the rest of the wheels in a certain direction. So we are like all individual gears, and we are in this greater mechanism, and we're all spinning together in the same direction as this greater mechanism wills. So we don't have any freedom of movement in this. And again, no single wheel has freedom of movement in and of itself, but continues with the motion of the rest of the wheels in a certain direction to qualify the machine to perform its general role. So, and if there is some breakdown in the wheel, the breakdown is not evaluated relating to the wheel itself, but according to its service and role with respect to the whole machine. And if there's no freedom of movement, and if you don't want to spin in that direction, the mechanism as a whole is not going to break down. It's going to continue spinning. But this resistance that you make, you're going to feel the punishment because you are resisting the entire mechanism. And when this happens, and the sufferings come to you, you're not going to make the connection that it's because of your resistance. That is why you're feeling it. Again, if there is a breakdown of the wheel, the breakdown is not evaluated relating to the wheel itself, but according to its service and role with respect to the whole machine, because everything is interconnected. as in our subject, the benefit of each and every person within his collective is evaluated not according to his goodness, but according to his service to the public. And vice versa, we appreciate the attribute of evil of each and every individual only according to the harm one inflicts upon the public in general, and not by one's own individual value. And we see this in society as well. If a person is isolated or is in... because the society is a collective, the benefit of the collective is also the benefit of the individual, and he who harms the collective also harms himself, because the particulars are parts of the collective, and there is no greater value in the collective than the sum of its parts. Meaning the connection of the particular and the collective, it's absolute, and we cannot break it. And this is a terrible, very scary principle, because we cannot hope to understand and to apply it, because when we relate to each person individually and we separate them from the collective, and we don't take into account the good or bad that he is doing, then the mission that he needs to complete that without him would not be completed. This shows us that we do not relate to man and society correctly. We can never relate to a man as an individual. We always need to relate to a man as an integral part of society. And that's the only way that we need to relate and evaluate him, to either punish or encourage him. Only to the extent of his inclusion into the collective or exclusion from it. That's the only way we need to relate to him. There is no individuality if we're all gears in the mechanism. And everyone is evaluated only with respect to what he can bring to this collective organism, mechanism, or to the with respect to the harm that he can introduce. There is no other way to evaluate man, but only with respect to his attitude toward the collective. Of course, the above words apply that if all the individuals perform their role toward the public to the fullest and receive no more than they receive and take more than their friends share. But if parts of the collective does not behave accordingly, turns out that not only do they harm the collective, but they are also harmed. So we have this complete principle of interconnection. We should not relate to a person individually but only as this tiny part in the greater mechanism. And in so doing, we don't somehow make it less important. No, we exalt it because we realize that out of this one element, the small element, everything else follows. It determines the greater collective. So the importance of this tiny individual, it's not in and of itself, but the importance that it plays, the role that it plays in the greater collective. So in so doing, we raise it, elevate it to the level of the collective. And again, but if a part of the collective does not behave accordingly, turns out that not only do they harm the collective, but they are also harmed. We should not discuss further something that is known to all, and the aforesaid is only to show the drawback, the place that needs correction, and that it is that each and every individual will understand that his own benefit and the benefit of the collective are one and the same thing, and that the world will come to its full correction. Al-Salam so far hasn't told us how to do this. He simply gave us the right a way to look at good and evil of the individual, that it is evaluated as a part of collective, and under no circumstances to extract it outside of the collective, because otherwise we don't evaluate him properly. But in order to evaluate him properly within society, we need to see this whole mechanism. What is this great connection between all the souls, between all the people, this inner connection, and where each person is, how he relates to good and evil? Who can be here to measure all these things and to evaluate them, to bring them out of these inner relationships between us? We don't know how this works. I influence some person in Honolulu or South America or Northern Europe or in China. How do I know who I'm connected to and which gears I'm next to and how they influence me? I don't know anything. Whether it's my neighbor or someone who lives in Pakistan or Holland, we don't know how we're connected to one another. So how can we measure benefit or harm with respect to myself and the rest of the organism? And we will yet come to this. There are a lot of other conditions that we must clarify, which are necessary in order to realize, actualize this opportunity to accelerate our path. And we will see that to accelerate our path, we must reveal the upper world, reveal the Creator. And then we truly will be able to attain a fast, easy, pleasant growth to the final, uppermost, most perfect ideal state. Let's answer a few more questions. We have questions about preparation for the Congress. Tehran from Paris and a lot of other friends are asking. The questions are like this: how do we reveal the upper force that we have felt at the last Congress in Israel? And how do we now prepare for the Congress in order to influence the development of the world Kli in the best way possible, and the entire situation in the world as well? We have that opportunity to influence ourselves, and our congresses, conventions are very, very good means of doing that. We have a group that works under the guidance of our friend Yaakov Sabari, and I ask that you write him and connect on the forum and that webpage we have dedicated to the upcoming convention. Besides the Congress in Berlin, I will also have meetings and presentations of my book in Paris immediately after, and then I will have meetings with UNESCO with respect to global education. And I am ready to receive all kinds of well wishes from you and all kinds of offers, propositions about our European development. And I would very much welcome more involvement on your part. So please send us on this webpage that we have, send all your ideas to us, and we will take them all very seriously into consideration. So here we will conclude our lesson. I would very much recommend to try to feel what we've spoken about, because here we truly